Hello again, brothers and sisters on the journey. Just a bunch of seekers living through their daily life, taking a moment for a daily respite. This is Saturday, September 18th, 2021. Episode 41 of our daily respite. And on Saturdays, we turn to the monk from Gethsemane, Thomas Merton. I think you're going to enjoy today's devotion. We're going to have a reading from Merton and then a prayer, one of his most famous prayers. And both of these come from his book called Thoughts in Solitude. Thoughts in Solitude. Little short excerpts that Merton writes about aspects of the spiritual life and the qualities of solitude, spiritual solitude. And this book came about, it was about the mid-50s when Merton was at the Abbey of Gethsemane, and he was trying to convince the abbot to allow him more space to be alone. In other words, Merton wanted to go off into a hermitage or extended periods of solitude. And of course, the abbey is all about living in community. But slowly and gradually, the abbot agrees. I think Merton's first little hermitage was actually a tool shed that he found up on the knobs of Kentucky, up on the hiking trails. It was a tool shed. He called it St. Anne's, and that became his first hermitage. And then only later, with the new abbot, did Merton actually get his hermitage that we know of today on the grounds of the abbey. But that first little step into solitude at the abbey gave him an opportunity to not only be in silence and solitude, but to write. And he wrote this book, Thoughts on Solitude, just things that came to him while he was experiencing this great new freedom of solitude. So we're going to read one of his excerpts from that book and then have a prayer from Merton. And I think we are ready to begin. A couple reminders for all you listeners about tomorrow, Sunday, the Sabbath at Vine Street Christian Church. The 9:05 gathering has been canceled for tomorrow, and we will pick up right where we left off last week on the following Sunday. And the book study has been postponed to next Sunday evening, the 26th, at 6 o'clock. And we'll pick up chapters 4 and 5 right where we left off. We will be worshiping at 10 a.m. Amen. All right, this is Thomas Merton, and he writes about his, what he calls his vocation to solitude, his calling to solitude. So he defines it. That's how he begins this excerpt. So let's hear the words of Thomas Merton. Vocation to solitude, to deliver oneself up, to hand oneself over, to entrust oneself completely to the silence of a wide landscape of woods and hills, or sea, or desert, to sit still while the sun comes up over that land and fills its silences with light, to pray and work in the morning, and to labor and rest in the afternoon, and to sit still again in meditation in the evening when night falls upon that land, and when the silence fills itself with darkness and with stars. This is a true and special vocation. There are few who are willing to belong completely to such silence, to let it soak into their bones. To breathe nothing but silence. To feed on silence. And to turn the very substance of their life into a living and vigilant silence. The martyr is a man who has made a decision strong enough to be proved by death. The solitary is a man who has made a decision strong enough to be proved by the wilderness. That is to say, by death. For the wilderness is full of uncertainty and peril, humiliation and fear, and the solitary lives all day long in the face of death. Hence, it is clear that the solitary is the martyr's younger brother. It is the Holy Spirit himself who makes the decision that segregates martyrs and solitaries in Christ. The vocation to martyrdom is charismatic and extraordinary. So too, in a sense, is the vocation to solitude. We do not become martyrs by any human plan, and we do not become solitaries by any mere design of our own. Even the desire for solitude must be supernatural if it is to be effective. And if it is supernatural, it will probably also be a contradiction of many of our own plans and desires. Amen. We may indeed look ahead and foresee and desire the path that leads us to the desert, but in the end, solitaries are made by God and not by man. No matter whether we be called to community or to solitude, our vocation is to build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and on the chief cornerstone, which is Christ. This means that we are called to fulfill and to realize the great mystery of His power in us. The power that raised Him from the dead and called us from the ends of the earth to live to the Father in Him. Whatever may be our vocation, we are called to be witnesses and ministers of the divine mercy. The Christian solitary does not seek solitude merely as an atmosphere or as a setting for a special and exalted spirituality, nor does he seek solitude as a favorable means for obtaining something he wants, such as contemplation. Rather, he seeks solitude as an expression of his total gift of himself to God. His solitude is not a means of getting something, but a gift of himself. As such, it may imply renouncement and contempt of the world in its bad sense, but it is never a renunciation of the Christian community. Indeed, it may express the solitary's conviction that he is not good enough for most of the visible exercises of the community, that his own part is to carry out some hidden function in the community's spiritual cellar. Let us pray. Merton writes, "My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone." Amen.